Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Hanoidim Mishayv Sev Shabbos. If somebody makes a neder that he will not benefit for anyone who rests on Shabbos, Talach is also Bisra Bas Bakutim. He may not have benefit from Jews. We are Shomrei Shabbos, and he also may not have benefit from the Kutim. The Kutim are a nation that were brought by Shel Metzer to settle in Eretz Yisrael after the Asaras HaShvatim left Eretz Yisrael, and they became Gerim after there was an outbreak of lions attacking Eretz Yisrael. Throughout Shas, there's a debate if the Kutim are considered Geri Emes or Geri Arayus. Our Mishnah and Gemara, we will learn like the Rishonim who explain, hold that Kutim are Geri Emes, and therefore they are also considered Shoysev Shabbos. Moich Leshum, if somebody makes another that he will not have benefit from those who eat garlic. As we learned, Friday night is the time where Talmidei Chachamim and all Jews have relations with their wife. Eating garlic makes one more potent. So Ezra made a takana that on Friday nights garlic should be eaten. So again, if somebody makes a neder that he will not benefit from those who are oich l'shum, those who eat garlic, the halach is also b'Yisrael v'as b'kutim, he may not benefit from Jews or from kutim. However, if someone makes a neder that he will not benefit from those who are oile Yerushalayim, those who go up to Yerushalayim, their halach is osi b'sra b'ut b'kutim. He may not benefit from Yisraelim, but he may benefit from kutim. For as the Rishonim explained, and the Gemara will explain this more, even though our Mishnah is following the opinion that the kutim are geri emes, the kutim had a particular dislike for Yerushalayim. They had avodah zara on Har Gerizim, and since they had this particular dislike for Yerushalayim, they never went to Yerushalayim, and therefore they're not included in the group of Oilei Yerushalayim. The Mefarshim point out that obviously what our Mishnah is referring to, although, is to the Aliyah L'Regel, but the Aliyah L'Regel, point out the Mefarshim, was to the Beis HaMikdash, not to Yerushalayim. So why does our Mishnah call it Oile Yerushalayim? So first, I point out from here we see that it's not just the Beis HaMikdash that has this special Kedusha. Yerushalayim, the city, is the holiest place and is such an important place in our life and in our religion, and therefore it's called Ma'oile Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, when someone makes a neder that he will not benefit from those who are Shoysei Shabbos, my Shoysei Shabbos, what does he mean when he makes this neder? If you'll say he means those who observe Shabbos, those don't work on Shabbos, ask the Gemara, my Eri Bekutim, why is he prohibited from having benefit from Kutim? Afil Oiv Dekachavim Nami, he should also not be allowed to have benefit from Goyim. Goyim, if there's a Goy who doesn't work on Shabbos, he should be included in the Mekayme Shabbos, and therefore if I made a neder that I will not benefit from the Shoysev Shabbos, I should not be allowed to benefit from that Goy. And as Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, even though the Gemara says Goy Sheshovas Chayiv Misa, a Goy may not observe Shabbos, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that is a halachic term. But that doesn't change the reality that if there is a Goy who doesn't work on Shabbos, why is he not considered Mishayv Sei Shabbos? Says the Gemara, El Mitzuvim El Shabbos. What our Mishnah means is that the person made a neder that he will not benefit from those who are commanded not to work on Shabbos, says the Gemara. And as we explain in the Mishnah, the Kutim are considered those who are commanded not to work on Shabbos, because as we said, our Mishnah goes according to the opinion that the Kutim are Gerei Emes. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if what counts is that they're obligated to do the mitzvah or not, Ihachi I'm safe, let's continue learning our Mishnah. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, if somebody said that he's not allowed to benefit me, Oyle Yerushalayim, the halacha is, Asur b'Yisrael or Mutar b'Kutim. He's allowed to have benefit from Kutim. But if we're saying that the definition in our Mishnah is that we look, is the person obligated to follow the mitzvah or not? Amai, v'metzuvim nenu, the kutim who we're saying are considered gerei emes are also obligated to be oilel Yerushalayim. So why are the kutim excluded when a neder on the oilel Yerushalayim is made? Amar Abaye answers Abaye. Our Mishnah requires two things. It requires mitzvah, that the person be obligated to do the mitzvah, v'oisin, that he actually follows ketani. That's what our Mishnah is saying is the definition when one prohibited himself from benefit from someone. So therefore, b'tahati babi kamaisa, in the first two cases of the Mishnah, shmirah Shabbos, achila shum, Yisrael v'kutim, mitzvahim, are obligated to do these things, v'oisin, and they actually follow this mitzvah. Oiv t'kachavim, however, oiv t'kachavim, ha'huda avdi oisim, even if you'll have a guy that shayim Shabbos, or you'll have a guy that eats garlic, they maybe do it. However, ve'er mitzvahim, they're not obligated to do it. But oiv Yerushalayim, when it comes to going to Yerushalayim, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael mitzvahim, are commanded to go to Yerushalayim, ve'oisim, and it's actually what they practice, that they were oiv l'regel. However, kutim, mitzvim, they may be commanded, as we were saying, the Geri Emes, so they're obligated to be oil regal. However, ve'enim oisim, they don't follow this mitzvah, and therefore they're not included in the oil Yerushalayim. Ask the Mefarshim, but nowadays, that unfortunately we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, so even Yisraelim should not be considered oil Yerushalayim. So, the Mefarshim answer, either, as we've explained previously, there still may be a chiyuv to be oile Yerushalayim, or at least a mitzvah to be oile Yerushalayim, even nowadays when the Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately no longer standing. Or another teretz that's given is, we are still oile Yerushalayim. Every Jew is commanded to be oile Yerushalayim by the Sholosh Regalim, and would so very much want to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. There's a technical difficulty that's preventing us from doing the mitzvah, that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing. However, the Kutin, even if we were Baruch Hashem, were to have a Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't go, and certainly the Goyim are not commanded, and therefore, oile Yerushalayim only include Klal Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, if somebody made a neder, he makes a neder that he will not derive benefit from the descendants of Noach. The halacha is Mutar Yisrael ve'asubav t'kachavim. He may benefit from Klal Yisrael, but he may not benefit from Goyim. Ask the Gemara, v'Yisrael minafke v'klal b'nei Noach, is Klal Yisrael excluded from being descendants of Noach? Entire mankind are all descendants of Noach. Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Igdash Avram, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kedusha to Avram Avinu, we Klal Yisrael, Iskaru al Shmei, are considered Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avram, no longer the descendants of Noach. As the Pasuk says, Zera Avram Oyevai. The Klal Yisrael are considered the Zera Avram, the descendants of Avram, says the Rosh, because Oyavai, because Avram was the one who loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return loved him, and we are set aside by being called the Zera Avram. And the Mefarshim explain, what is the difference between a Bnei Noach and a Ben Avram? Noach, the Mefarshim explain, is subject to the Teva. He's subject to the natural order of the world. Klal Yisrael, the Zera Avraham, are lemalam min ha-teva, are above the regular laws of nature. We are under a special hashgacha pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim also discuss, at what point, the Rishonim discuss this, at what point did Klal Yisrael receive the name of Zera Avraham? Is it from Har Sinai? when we received the Torah, or is it already at an earlier time from when Avram was Hikris Bairai, from the time that Avram Avinu recognized who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Mefarshim also discuss if Gerim are included in the Zera Avraham. They're not actual physical, biological descendants of Avram, yet they are certainly part of Klal Yisrael, and the Paiskim seem to say that Gerim are certainly included in Zera Avraham. Similarly, there's a Shaila on the other side, a Mumer, somebody who has left practicing his Yiddishkeit, is he considered Zera Avraham? And again, most Rishonim say a Jew, as soon as he's born, remains a Jew forever, even if he's a Mumer. If somebody says She'eni Nena LeZera Avraham, if he says I'm not going to have benefit from the Zera Avraham, Tosfos, reading the previous Mishnah, says that there are Gersos that don't have She'eni Nena, but rather She'ani Nehena. She'ani Nena LeZera Avraham, that I want to have benefit from the children of Avraham. The Halach is Osa B'Yisrael. He may not have benefit from a Jew, however, he could have benefit from a non-Jew. Ask the Gemara of Ikki Yishmael, wasn't Yishmael a descendant of Avram? Answers the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Ki be Yitzchak yikar lecha zara ksev. Only Yitzchak will be considered your descendant. Ask the Gemara of Ikki Esav, but Yitzchak had Esav as a son, so the Zera Esav should be considered the Zera Avram. Answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Be Yitzchak v'loy kol Yitzchak. Part of the family of Yitzchak, but not of all of Yitzchak, to exclude Esav. The Mefarshim discuss what will be the halacha if somebody says that he's excluding himself from the Zera Sora. So certainly Yishmael is not a descendant of Sora, but Esav is a descendant of Sora. Will he be excluded? Will he be allowed to have a nor from Esav's descendants or not? And the Chokhmah Shloimeh wants to suggest a chiddush that certainly Esav is considered Zera Sora. And he explains because the entire birth of Esav came about because of Sora. Because when Sora told Avram Avinu, Goresh as Ben Omer Azois, to chase away Yishmael, the son of Hagar, as a punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that her son Yitzchak would have a son like Esav, and therefore certainly Esav is considered Zera Sora because his whole creation came about because of Sora. The Mefarshim also discussed, the Magen Avraham discusses, if somebody says Zera Yitzchak, is Esav included or not? The Magen Avraham seems to suggest that since Esav did get a Yerusha from Yitzchak, even though he may not be considered Zera Avraham, he is considered Zera Yitzchak. The Mishnah Lamelech asks that there's an interesting shita, an interesting opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu that his descendants should have a bris milah, and the B'nai Keturah are the children of Avram Avinu, says the Rambam that B'nai Keturah are obligated to have a bris milah. So asks the Mishnah Lamelech, if so, why when somebody says She'eni Nenel Zer Avram, according to Rambam's opinion, are the B'nai Keturah not included in his nether? So the Mishnah Lamelech answers, the Halach is B'zman Hazeh, why, according to the Rambam's opinion, do we not do a bris milah on every guy? So the Mishnah Melech explains, because even according to the Rambam, that the B'nai Keturah are obligated to have a bris milah, it's only when we know for sure that this individual is from the B'nai Keturah. But if we don't know that this individual is from the B'nai Keturah, we don't have to make a bris milah. So therefore, when a person says, She'eni Nena Mizera Avraham, we follow Loshim B'nai Adam, we follow, as we learned in the previous year, the way people express themselves. B'nai Keturah, since we don't know who they are, and therefore this halach is not followed, even according to the Rambam, B'zman Hazeh, therefore we certainly don't include the B'nai Keturah when we say Zera Avraham. There's an interesting shaila. In the Musaf of the on Rosh Hashanah, we say the Kedus Yitzchak Lizaroi Hayoim Tisker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask, should remember that Kedah of Yitzchak. There's a machloikis, what is the proper way of saying this tefillah. Some say Vakedus Yitzchak Lizaroi Hayoim Tisker, and others say Vakedus Yitzchak Lizaroi Shal Yaakov Hayoim Tisker. The Rivosh argues strongly that the proper way of saying the tefillah is Vakedus Yitzchak Lizaroi Hayoim Tisker, not saying Lizaroi Shal Yaakov. And he says two reasons. One is based on our Gemara. It seems that our Gemara holds that the Zaroi Shel Yitzchak from Avram Avinu's time is already considered Klal Yisrael, so it's not necessary to say Lazaroi Shel Yaakov. And furthermore, he says that if we're going to say Vakedus Yitzchak Lazaroi Shel Yaakov Hayoim Tisker, we're embarrassing Yitzchak. We're reminding, so to speak, that Yitzchak unfortunately had a son like Esav, and therefore he says we should say Vakedus Yitzchak Lazaroi Hayoim Tisker. The Taz disagrees, and the Taz says that by tefillah specifically there is a point that one should be as explicit and clear as possible, and therefore saying Vakedus Yitzchak Lazaroi Shel Yaakov is much more detailed and much more clear who we are referring to in our tefillah, and therefore he says we should say Vakedus Yitzchak Lazaroi Shel Yaakov Hayoim Tisker. The Mishnah Brura brings down both opinions, and he says that a person can follow either opinion that he prefers. Says the Mishnah, She'eni nana Yisrael, if somebody makes a nether that it will not benefit from Yisrael, so if he wants to do business, how could he do business with a person from if we're a Jew? The loch is lekech b'yaser. When he buys something, he should pay more than it's worth, so he's not really benefiting, he's overpaying. And umaych b'pesach paychus. And when he sells to something to a Jew, he should sell it for less than it's worth, even though, so he's not benefiting, he's getting less than he normally would. So Kiv Eger points out that our Mishnah is referring specifically to a situation where the person made a nether that he will not benefit from any Jew. So it's a very difficult situation to be in, that he can't have benefit from any Jew. Therefore, the Mishnah gives us this advice, how he could do transactions with a Jew. However, says Rabbi Kivega, if he only prohibited himself from having benefit from one specific Jew, then he should not do what our Mishnah says. He should just avoid doing business with that Jew and doing business with other Jews. The Ran points out that it's only if somebody said this wording of She'eni Nana Yisrael is the halacha, that he cannot have benefit from, that he could do, get out of benefit in a normal fashion. However, says the Ran, if he says Nichse Yisrael, he prohibits himself from having hanof from the property of Jews, there the halacha would be that even Lekech b'yoyser or Machab b'pachas would be osur, because he's having some sort of, he's benefiting from the person's nechasim. The Pesachei Tshuva says, quotes the Noida B'Yehuda, and he says that even though our Mishnah says that if somebody is, somebody prohibited himself from benefiting from a Jew, and therefore he has to pay more than it's normally worth, and therefore it's not considered that he's having benefit, says the Noida B'Yehuda, that if he pays on credit, then even though he overpaid, it's still considered that he's having benefit, because he has the credit that he doesn't have to pay back, he doesn't have to pay for the purchase immediately, and therefore, even if he's lekeach b'yoyser, it would be osur. If the person made a nether, she Yisrael nenen li, then no Jew may benefit from him, then halach is lekeach b'pachas or meicha b'yoyser. Here is just the opposite. He pays less than the market price, and he sells more, because if he pays market price or he sells at market price, then the Jews are benefiting from him, and that's contrary to his neder, says the Mishnah. Ve'ein shomim loy. However, no one will listen to such a neder. Why would another Jew be prepared to pay less, to pay more, because I made such a neder? And as Mefarshim explained, even though what the Mishnah is telling us is that even though as a result of this neder, no one is going to want to do business with me, because which person is going to want to overpay for what he's purchasing, says the Mishnah, that's still not a reason to invalidate the neder. I shouldn't have made the neder, and I can always do business with Goy. Another gears in the Mishnah is Ishay Mimloy. He could only do business if people will pay, if he pays less and sells more. But Ishay Mimloy, he has to find Jews that are going to be willing to do business with him under those terms. The Ran points out that when one makes such a neder, and let's say the item that he ultimately wants to sell to another Jew, he did not own at the time he made the neder, so will it be considered, asked the Ran, a dovah shloi bala oilam? I made the neder today, and tomorrow I buy an item that, and today I made the neder of Yisrael Nenali. But when I made this neder today of Yisrael Nenali, I did not yet own the item that I want to sell to the Jew tomorrow. So perhaps, suggests the Ran, it should not be the subject to the neder. Says the Ran, that when the person made the neder she Yisrael Nenali, his neder was not directed at specific objects and items. His neder was directed at himself, she Yisrael Nenali, that he made a neder that Jews may not benefit from him, and he is already in existence, and therefore the neder is effective even on items that he did not yet own at the time he made the neder. Says the Mishnah, if someone made a neder she'eni nena lehem, I may not benefit from Jews, v'hein li, nor may Jews may benefit from me, then Allah is yana lo, if he could come, he could only do business with non-Jews. Ask the Mefarshim, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Isn't this then just a combination of the first two dinim we learned in our Mishnah? Answer the Mefarshim. As we learned earlier in our Masechta, if somebody made a neder shloi ishan gimel yomim, that he will not sleep for 3 days, the neder is not effective, because a person cannot survive without sleeping for 3 days. So one might think that if he made a neder that he won't have any benefit from Jews, nor Jews will not benefit from him, perhaps that's a situation that's an unsustainable situation, and therefore the neder should not be considered a neder. It's like a neder shloi ishan gimel yomim, teaches us the Mishnah, since he has the option of yana lo to kachavim, of doing transactions with a goy, the neder is considered a valid neder. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, haloi keach kli me'ovik kachavim levakroi. If somebody takes a utensil from a goyish merchant with the intention of perhaps purchasing it, v'nenes biyodai, and while he's holding it, something happens to it, chayiv, he's responsible. And we have here a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Why? Some rishonim suggest because the person who takes this utensil is considered a shoyl. He's considered someone like someone who borrowed a utensil, because kol hanor shaloi, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, it's always the purchaser's benefit. So the definition, the characteristics of a shoyl, of someone who borrows a keli, is he too is kol hanor shaloi, he's the person who's benefiting from this, and therefore the halacha is a shoyl is chayiv ba'itzim. Other rishonim, Rashi Masechta Bava Metzia, learns that it's considered olei keach, he's considered someone who bought it. If I take something from someone else with intention of buying it, as soon as I take it, it's considered that I bought it, and therefore it's mine, and I'm responsible for the oitzim. What would be nafkaminas between these two pshatim drushinim? One nafkamina would be is, could I, the person who took the utensil, be magdish it? If I'm considered a shoyl cannot be magdish something. It's not his. If, on the other hand, I'm considered a loikeach, I would have the right to be magdish it. Another nafkamina would be the halacha, as we're going to learn in Parshas Mishpatim, is that a shoyl, even though he's chai ba'ainsim, is not chai ba'ainsim in ba'ol of imoy. If the owner is with him when this oinus happens. So if I'm a shoyl, but ba'ol of imoy, I would not be chai ba'ainsim. If on the other hand, I'm a lekeach, then there is no dispensation of ba'ol of imoy. But perhaps the most fundamental nafkamina between the two approaches of the Rishonim refers to something that the Ran and the Ritva discuss. The Ran says that this halacha that I'm considered responsible for the if there's an oinus is only if kaitzi domei, if we know the value of the item that I received. The Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva says that even if like kaitzi domei, even if I don't know the value, I'm still responsible. Perhaps, what is the machloikis? The man dominant says that we have to know the value is because I'm a loikeach. You can't be considered a loikeach. You can't be considered that you bought something if you don't even know what it costs. So it has to be kaitzi domei. You have to know what the price is. However, a shoyl doesn't have to know the value. A shoyl is a person who borrows a vessel, a utensil, even without knowing its value. And therefore, he can be considered a shoyl even if it's loikeach domei. Actually, I saw the Shail Sechuvis Mishnah Halachis says that this Gemara is very relevant, could be very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Someone walks into a store and he picks up an item and it falls and it breaks. Is it considered that it was his item and he's responsible, or is it not chayiv and oinsim? So the Shail Sechuvis Mishnah Halachis says that if there is no price marked on the item, he certainly cannot be considered a loikeach. Because as we just said a moment ago, you can't be considered a loikeach if you don't even know the price of the item you're purchasing. But if, he says, the item was priced, and I intended to buy it, even though I didn't actually ever approach the cash register and buy it, I did pick it up with the intention of buying it, so we have a ma'aser kinyan. There was no problem with this ma'aser kinyan because I knew the price, and therefore if it fell from my hands, I am considered that it was mine and it dropped when it was by me, and I still owe the shopkeeper the value of what the item was. So obviously, says the Gemara, Shmuel holds that as soon as somebody receives something from the merchant, it's considered his because he's the one that's benefiting. That in a transaction of selling and buying, it's the buyer who's the primary beneficiary because he was able to purchase this item. The seller is not considered that much of the beneficiary. Ask the Gemara, if so, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody says, She'eni nenem Yisrael, that I'm not allowed to benefit from Yisraelim, the loch is moich v'pachas. He's only allowed to sell for something that's less than its value. Ava shav b'shava, to sell the item at its market value, loy, is not permitted. Ask the Gemara, v'yi hanos l'keichu, if we say it is sale, the benefit is accrued to the buyer, I feel a shav b'shava, then even I could sell it at market value, since the seller doesn't benefit from the sale, even when it's sold at market value. Answers the Gemara, Masnison Bezvina de Rama El Ape. Amish is referring to an item that is very low demand. There, everybody agrees that the beneficiary in the sale is the seller. Ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's the difference if it's an item that has a lot of customers, as we're going to learn, has few customers? The bottom line is, I said I can't benefit from a Jew, so how could I sell? So he explains that the entire point is, when I say hana, is benefit. But if there is no benefit, I didn't say that I'm not allowed to do business with a Jew, and therefore if there's going to be a transaction that will not include in it any real benefit, it will be mutter. Says the Gemara, in Cain, Amoresha. Let's go to the earlier case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lekeach b'yoyser. If the person has to sell it more than its value. Ask the Gemara, if the Mishnah is referring to an item which has low demand, then he should be allowed to purchase it even at its value, since the seller who's benefiting, not the buyer. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, void aim a seifa. If somebody says she is Shura, then in Lee, that Jews may not benefit from me, the loch is lakeh bepachais, I could purchase only for less than the value, or meicha b'yos, and I only could sell for more than the value. Ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is referring to an item, the Rama El Api, for which there's low demand, I feel a shava shava. I should be allowed to sell it even at its value, because the buyer is not benefiting. He's getting something that nobody's really interested in. Answers the Gemara, Seifa Bezvina Harifa. The second case of the Mishnah is referring with something in high demand. That there, certainly since it's high demand, it's the buyer who's benefiting. And if I made a nether that the buyer, she's swallowed mentally, that they may not benefit from me, I can't sell it for market value. Ask the Gemara, Yehachi, if this case in the Mishnah is referring to a case that it's in high demand, why lekeh b'pachas? Why does the Mishnah say that I have to buy it at less than the value? I feel a shav b'shava. He should be allowed to buy it at its value because he's the one that's benefiting, not the other person. Ella says the Gemara, our Mishnah is referring to Masnisa, is referring to Zvina Mitzor, something that's moderate demand. Not too good and not too bad, and therefore the Mishnah says we can't sell it or buy it under normal circumstances. However, Shmuel, who says that in a normal transaction, all of the benefit is considered the buyer's benefit, is referring to Zvina Harifa, something which has a high demand, something which has the high demand. It's not the seller who's benefiting from the transaction, it's the buyer who's benefiting from the transaction. Tanya Kavasei to Shmuel, says the Gemara, there's actually a brisa that corroborates Shmuel's opinion. It says, Halakeach Kelim and Atagar, if somebody buys, somebody takes different vessels from a merchant, L'shagrin L'beis Chomov, we have a person who is a chassan, and he wants to give his in-laws, his kala, a gift, but he's not sure that the item that he's taking from the merchant, if they like, so he makes the following deal with the merchant, Amalai. I'm a kabbalan oisim many. If my in-laws want to take this item from me, I will pay you for it. Vimlav, if they don't need it, they don't want it, they don't like it, I will return it to you. I will return it to you. I will pay you lefi toivus hanoshben, but I will pay you for the benefit that I received from being able to give them or show them that I want to give them this gift. Ask the Mefarshim, isn't this a situation of ribbis, that I'm returning the item to the seller, and on top of returning the item to the seller, I'm also paying him toivus hanoh? So Rishonim answer that we're referring to a situation that the item depreciates. So since the item depreciates, it's not an issue of ribbis. So says the Braisa, Nantsu ba'alicha, if while I'm taking this to my in-laws, something happens, that I'm chayif. Because we see from as soon as I take it, I'm considered the lekeach, whatever pshat we use, whether a shoyel or whether a purchaser, and that's why I'm chayif and oitzim. It's only b'chazara, when I'm on the way back, and I no longer have any intention of keeping it, so I'm no longer considered a koina or a shoyel, and I'm potter and oitzim, because at that point I'm considered like a nois esacher, like a paid shoymer, that the halach is that a nois esacher is chayiv b'gneiv v'aveda, certainly chayiv b'pshia, but he's not chayiv b'oitzim. And since I'm no longer keeping it, I'm not considered a shoyel or a koina. Says the Gemara, Hahusaf Sira, there was a broker, a middleman, the shokel cham lezvune, he took a donkey from a person with the intention of selling it to a specific customer, v'loy izben, but the customer was not interested in the donkey. Says the Braisa, behadi the other, as he was returning, bringing back the donkey to the merchant who he took it from, isnes chamra, something happened to the donkey, and chayv rav nachman l'shlumei, and he made him responsible for oinsim. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Ravel Rav Nachman Nentsu, we just learned that if an oinus happens b'halicha, he's chayiv. But if the oinus happens b'chazorah, he's potter. Here the oinus happened b'chazorah, so why was he chayiv? Amalei, so Rav Achim responds, chazorah de safsira, when the middleman, when the broker is returning it, it's always considered a situation of halachahi. Why? Deila mishkach lezuni. If this broker found a customer who is interested in purchasing it, afilo ababa de beisei, even if he was right by the door of the merchant, miloi mazbenlei, wouldn't he sell it to this customer? So the broker, the safsira, is always in the category of halicha. To explain, the chassan is only in the category of halicha as he's taking the item to his in-law's home. Once he's returning it, his only goal is just to give it back to the merchant. That's his only intent. The safsira, yes, he originally took it with the intention of giving it, of selling it to this specific customer. But if for whatever reason, this specific customer is not interested in the item, he'll sell it to another customer. So it's always in a status of halicha, and that's why he's always responsible for eins. Says the Mishnah. If somebody says, koinim sheni nana le'erelim, he makes a nether that he will not benefit from erelim. The halacha is mutab ereli Yisrael. He may benefit from Jews, even though they didn't have a bris milah, such as a Jew whose brothers passed away during the procedure of the milah, so he doesn't have a bris milah. For us, but he may not have benefit from goyim, even if the goyim are circumcised. The Mefarshim should discuss what would be the halacha of a mumer, if there was a Jew who specifically did not have a bris milah. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, if somebody made a nether sh'ani nana l'mulim, they will not benefit from people who have a bris milah. There, it's just the opposite. Also, bareli Yisrael, he may not have benefit from Jews, even if you have a Jew that did not have a bris milah. Umutta b'mayla'ev d'kachavim, they may benefit from goyim, even if they had a circumcision. She'ena orla kruya el l'shem ayv d'kachavim. Goyim are considered always arelim. Shenemer, as the pasuk says, k'kol ha'goyim arelim, v'kol beis Yisrael areli leiv. Voimran, there's another pasuk, as David is entering battle with Goliath, he says, v'hoyah ha'plishti ha'oral hazeh. So the Goliath, the plishti, was considered an oral. Voimer, and it says a third pasuk, pen tismachna benois plishtim, pen teloizna benois ha'arelim. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim Taisus, firstly Masechta Avodah Zarah asks, we just finished learning that Nedarim follow Lashon B'nai Adam. So how could our Gemara, why is the Gemara using Psukim to define what I mean? Answers Taisus, that if we know what people's wording means, so by Nedarim, we follow Lashon B'nai Adam. But in a situation where there is no clear indication what the Lashon B'nai Adam is, then we follow the wording of the Torah. The Ran asks, why do we need to have three psukim to make the same point that goyim are considered a reilim? Answers the Ran. If we only had the first pasuk of kol goyim a reilim, we would think that it refers to arlas halev, not to the physical arla. If we only had the pasuk of ahaya plishti arla zeh, so it would say goyis was an individual who did not have, who is not circumcised, but perhaps it will have a goy who actually had a circumcision, he will not be considered an oral. So that's why the Mishnah brings the third pasuk. The third pasuk speaks about an entire nation. It's inconceivable, says the Ran, that in an entire nation of Plishtim there shouldn't have been someone who was born with a milah or someone who was circumcised. And yet, they're all considered a reilim. So we see that a goy, even if he had a circumcision, is considered an oral. Rav Loz ben Azariah Omer, Mu'usahi oral. The oral is repulsive. Shenizgana by Rishoyim, Shenema, Ki kol ha'goyim a reilim. Rishmol Omer g'doy la'mila. Mila is very great. Shenichras o'aleh shlosh ha'sabrisis. There are 13 times that the Torah uses the word bris. Regarding, the Torah uses the word bris. And the Mefarshim explained what is the concept of 13. So one pshat I saw is that a child is born, the Gemara says, the Yetzer Hara enters immediately. The Yetzer Tov, however, comes only when he's bar mitzvah. So how will the child be protected? So he has the bris milah, which he receives right away when he's born. That bris milah protects him for those 13 years, and that's why the Torah uses the word bris 13 times. Another pshat is that when a Jewish child, Jewish person, has a bris milah, he connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world when we're worthy with the Shloish Eser Midah Shel Rachmim. So by having a bris milah, like we connect ourselves to Hashem and we connect ourselves to the Shloish Eser Midah Shel Rachmim. Mila is great that it has the ability to override Shabbos, even when it's Chomer. What's Shat Shabbos Chomura? So Mashiach says that even if Shabbos and Yom Kippur are on the same day, the halacha is that if it's the eighth day, we make a bris Mila. Rav Shua ben Karchaimer, G'day Lamila, Shloim Litloi, Lamosha Tzadok Alea, Malay Shah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't even willing to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu for 1 hour. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset that Moshe Rabbeinu did not do the bris milah on his son immediately. I saw a nice pshat from the Chidah. All the mitzvahs of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited until Kabbalah Satorah, until Moshe Rabbeinu could give us the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Milah was so important, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't wait. He already gave it to us from the time of Avraham Avinu. Milah is great because it overrides, the halacha is that the pasuk says, he shomer benega tzaras. If somebody has a nega, then he's not allowed to cut it off. But let's say he has a nega in the mokam hamila, the halacha is that the bris milah overrides the nega. So Mefarshim asks, if we already proved that the milah overrides Shabbos, so certainly, which is such a big mitzvah, certainly it overrides negoim. What's the Tana trying to say? So Mefarshim answer, the milah overrides Shabbos only milah b'zmana, if it's on the eighth day. But if it's not on the eighth day, then we can't do a milah b'Shabbos. Negoim, even a milah shloi b'zmana, may be done on a mokam hanega. Another pshat is that when someone does a mitzvah, we could perhaps think that he has negoim, he has negiyas, he has his own reasons to do the mitzvah. He wants to do it for a schar or for whatever other reason. Says the Gemara, G'day l'mila. When the meal is done on a child who's 8 days old, the child at that point certainly doesn't have any calculations why he is or isn't doing the mitzvah. He's doing it purely l'shem shemayim. That's why the meal is such a great mitzvah. Rabbi Oymer, shekol ha-mitzvah she'asa Avraham Avinu, all the mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu did, le'nikra shalom, he's not considered shalom at shemo. Shenemar, his halech l'fonai ve'yei samim. Mila is great. Shemali he like Bar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Salamai. If not for the Mila, Hakadosh Baruch Hu would have never created the world. Shenemar Koyama Hashem Imloy Brisi Yoyim Velayla Chukas Eretz Shemayim Leisamti, which refers to the Bris Mila. The Beis Halevi points out that our Mishnah speaks in two ways about the Mila. On one hand, it speaks about how great the Mila is, and the other hand, it speaks about Meusa Ha'orla, that the Orla is considered repulsive. So what is the Mila? Is it G'dayla Mila or Musa Yir Orla? What's important about the Mila, points out the Beis Halevi, that the person removed the Orla, or is the what's important is that he conducted a Bris Mila? The practical Nafgamina would be if someone was already born circumcised. So if the issue is to remove the Arla, this person doesn't have the Arla. But if the issue is that he should undergo a bris milah, then he has to undergo the procedure. Says the Beis Halevi, those are the two sides of our Mishnah. The man that says Musa Arla says the Iker point of the milah is removing the Arla. The other man says that the ikur, the main point of the milah, is gedoyla milah, conducting the bris milah. Says the Beis Halevi, that's why at a bris milah we have both the milah and the priya. The milah represents removing the arla, and the priya represents obtaining the bris milah, representing both aspects of the perspectives of the Tanoim of our Mishnah.